And what I want to do today is turn to 2 Timothy, and I notice I wrote this down wrong in my notes, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. We're going to read just the two classic verses on inspiration, and we are... I want to spend some time today, take a little break from our basic theology session, to talk about Bible versions. And so, as you find 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy 3, do you find that you do that too with books that have 1st and 2nd and 3rd? You say the wrong one? I'm not sure. I'm not reversing something, I'm just saying the wrong one. I can't seem to get this straight. I do that with 1st and 2nd Peter also. So, 2 Timothy chapter 3, very famous verses. You probably have them memorized or have heard them enough that you have them almost memorized. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And of course, these are the verses that talk about what God did in giving us the Scriptures. Now, the word inspired in English, that word is talking about breathing in, actually. When you inspire, you're breathing it in. You wouldn't want to translate this expire, okay, then, for, you know, all Scripture is expired by God. That just wouldn't give the right connotation in English. But in the Greek language, it's actually God breathed, is how we translate this word very directly. So God breathed it out. Well, the proper English word would be expired, but we wouldn't want to say that. We'd use the word inspired. So that's a little trivia lesson, I suppose, for today. Now, I want to talk about, first of all, and this is not really a Bible lesson. This is more just a talk around the topic of Bible versions. You know that in some circles it is a bit of a controversy about which version you use, and I imagine if some people, some of my friends even, who were to hear this might take me to task about the things I'm about to say. Now, the versions that we have used here, traditionally, since day one in 1986, I have preached from the King James Version. Now, I grew up with the King James Version. I've memorized the King James Version. I've studied the King James Version. And so I have used it in my preaching since day one. Now, in the last, maybe 3 or 4 years, I've been using the New American Standard Version on Wednesday nights. It went all the way through the Psalms. The New American Standard Version. And we have been using the New King James Version in Sunday school for some time. And I've read entirely through myself. I've read the King James Version several times. I've read the New American Standard several times. I've read the English Standard Version a couple of times. And I've read the New King James Version at least once that I can recall in my own personal reading. And the last few weeks in our church services, I've been using the New American Standard Bible for our preaching. Now, the first question is, did anyone besides Rob notice? All right. Any comments? Whoa. All right, Bob. Right, okay. Anything else? Anybody? Norman. You're right, you've been away for a couple of weeks. All right. Anybody else? Any other comments? Tony. Well, this is the difficulty, isn't it? As part of the difficulty of different versions. But anyway, the reason this is an experiment. I wanted you to know, I obviously, the only person who mentioned anything to me was Rob. Of course, he tends to mention things to me. All right? And not in a negative way. Now, we tease each other and go back and forth. But anyway, this is a bit of an experiment. And as I'm using it as a preaching Bible, I feel this is different. It isn't, I'm not used to this. And it's interesting that I find myself still, a lot of these passages, I mean, I may not have them hard, word for word memorized, but the turn of the phrase, I'll remember, the King James phrase. For example, this morning, we were in John 16, and the New American uses the word helper, and I immediately remembered what? Comforter. Okay, so that it's so familiar, right? And this is one of the challenges that we're facing in using versions. Well, let me just move on from this, your history, but let's talk about the versions that I recommend. All right? I recommend the King James Version, of course. Now, why does anybody know why I recommend the King James Version? Anybody want to? Harry? Accuracy of translation. Okay, now, of all the translations in the world that are available in English, I should say, the King James Version is one of the most accurate. And so that is why we recommend it. All right? Now, there are also attending circumstances like familiarity. We grew up with it. Most of us, those of you who are under a certain age, you're different from us, but those of us who grew up in it, in the church in the years gone by, the King James Version is the version we used. So it's very much very familiar. And certainly it is very accurate. Now, the New King James Version, certainly I recommend it. It's very accurate, and the language has been updated somewhat. I've read through it once. A friend of mine asked me, we were talking about the change of versions, whether to use a different version. He said, well, why don't you go to the New King James? It is very close to the Old King James in a lot of ways, and it is, but it is more modern English. And that is, of course, the knock on the King James Version is the older English. And according to my understanding, it was even older when it was first translated. It was already older English. They did it that way deliberately to give it a certain, otherworldly atmosphere, if you will. It's a little more of a formal and sober English than ordinary conversation would be. Pardon me? Almost bard-like. Well, they were both writing at about the same time, right? So, the New King James has updated the English. And, of course, I recommend the New American Standard Version. It is probably the most accurate translation in English. And it is the one that I've read quite a bit in recent years. It's been my Bible of choice. And then the fourth version I recommend is called the English Standard Version. It's actually the version I'm reading right now in my personal devotions because I could get it for free on the Kindle. That's why. And I have to pay for the New American Standard. So being cheap, I decided I'll just do the English Standard Version. I very much like the English Standard Version. There are a lot of things about it that I like. It's an accurate translation. They have made an effort in terms of the style to be, literary. I don't know how to explain this. The King James Version is a towering monument of English literature. I mean, it is really just the turn of phrases. Some of those phrases in there are so beautiful. As English phrases, I mean, they have come into our language. People quote them. They are, they don't even know where they come from, but they come from the Bible, from the English or from the King James Version. Now, the problem with the New American Standard, it is the most accurate translation, in my opinion, and the opinion of many others. The problem with it is that it isn't it isn't quite as stylistically as elegant. Can we use that word? As the King James Version. The English Standard Version attempts to approach that kind of style. I don't know if we can ever find anybody who can write in English today like they used to write in English. It's probably an impossibility. But the English Standard Version does a good job of trying to add a good style. So I recommend the English Standard Version for that reason. And those are the four versions I recommend. Now, Boff has mentioned the NIV. I don't condemn the NIV, not the old NIV. The current NIV, by the way, there's a new one, NIV 2011, just came out. I don't like it. Okay, it is gender neutral. Okay, so I really think that believers need to get off the NIV bandwagon because they are determined to change it. So if you have an old NIV, that's fine. However, it's not my favorite because there are points at which it is just not quite as accurate as the others. Right? Now, it reads very well. It's very fluid and easy to read. But the problem is that at certain points, and there's enough, because I've taken the original languages, there's enough points where it just bothers me. I'll look and compare, and I say, it's not quite right. It's not that it's wrong, but it's not quite right. You follow what I mean? So the NIV is sort of the old NIV, I will say, with a qualified, I don't condemn it, but I don't really recommend it, because it's not quite as accurate as the other translations. Can you get outside of those translations, those four, or maybe the fifth? And really, there are problems with almost every one of the other translations, which makes it such that I do not recommend them, at least the ones that I know about. All right, there might be something that shows up, who knows. There's people publishing Bibles all the time. Why would that be, by the way? Money in it. There's money in publishing. If you get a hit with a Bible, you can float a publishing house. Okay? They make a lot of money off of Bibles. Well, now, there's nothing. I don't condemn them. If it costs money to print, to translate a Bible and to print it. And you put it in these, you know, especially when you go into, you know, leather binding and special paper. It's a book that's going to be used a lot. I mean, it costs money. And I don't begrudge people making money, but that's one of the motivations behind all these many, many versions. Yes, Wolf? What about the American? The American Standard Version is an old translation. It's not published anymore, except by the Jehovah's Witnesses. They took the copyright, or the copyright of the American Standard Version expired. They ran out, and the Jehovah's Witnesses took that and then they modified it, and they now have republished it as a New World Translation. So it's not the American Standard Version is bad, it's just not really available as a printed Bible, unless you find an old one in a used bookstore or something. And you can find it in computer programs, it's because it's no copyright, it's free. Okay, and there's nothing wrong with it as such. The New American Standard Version is very similar to it. There's maybe some points where it differs, but it's very similar. Okay, and anything else on that? Well, they you can say it either way. Same thing, yeah. Yeah. Okay? Yes? That's right, yes it was. In 1611, exactly 400 years ago is when it was. Well, that was the year it was first published. Yes, 1611. That's right. And by the way, when we talk about the King James Version has had a tremendous impact on the world. There's a movie out on the King James Version. I'd like to get a copy of it. Maybe we could show it at New Year's, at our New Year's Eve thing. The King James Version is a really we can't really say enough about it. The Lord has used it. And so we don't want to dismiss it. However, language has changed. And the reality is language has changed, isn't it? All right. Norman's wanting to say something.
I thought poetry
Yeah. Right.
You know, the psalms, just fantastic poetry.
Yeah.
Rhythm.
Yeah.
It's the language of Scripture.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It is. So that's why we're talking about the elegance of the Bible, you know, of the King James Version. All right, now, I want to address a point here because this is where the point of contention is. Here's my heading of my point. The reason why it is not a sin to use different versions. All right, the reason it is not a sin to use different versions. All right, first of all, what is a version? When we use that word version, what does that mean? Interpretation? Well, okay, I guess you would say if you're talking about different versions of different events, it would be a different take or a different interpretation. You've got one guy, say there's an accident right out here, and two of us standing there, the police are going to come interview us about what happened, you know, and you know what I say and what you say might be slightly different, two different versions, right? Okay, now, in that sense, I see what you're saying. When we're talking about a Bible, it is a translation. All right, because we have, here's how this guy translates it, here's how this guy translates it. All right? Go ahead, Rolf. Yeah. Usually they are. When we're talking about Bible versions, usually that term is referring to a Bible translated from the original Greek and Hebrew. There are some that are not direct translations. The Living Bible was not a translation. It was a paraphrase from the English into a more modern vernacular. There is a version called the New Living Translation. They claim to be a direct translation. However, it's also gender neutral, and the Living Bible, because of its paraphrase and all that, there are some errors in it that I think make it weak. But in any case, way back, if you go back to Wycliffe in the English Bible, this is in, 1100s or 1200s? I always get that messed up. Way back there anyway, a long time ago. Okay, he was the first to translate the Bible into English. Is that correct, Norman? Okay. But he did translate from the Latin, not from the Greek and Hebrew, but from the Latin into the English. And he also, it was all manuscript, handwritten. So it didn't get widely circulated. Okay, but he was sort of the first of the kind, and the English Bible stands on his shoulders. In any case, the point is that a version is a translation. Now, can translation render words exactly from one language to another? Bob? Okay. Okay, that's a good question. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's put it this way. There's been a tremendous amount of activity in archaeology and research, you know, to find copies of ancient Bibles. All right. And so what they've done is, and sometimes they find them in libraries. They've been sitting there gathering dust, and look, here's a book. And they'll find that it's actually a copy, a manuscript copy of the Bible from some time in the past. There's also, you know, they dig up these dumps in Egypt because Egypt's a very dry climate. This is where a lot, and they call it the papyri, made out of papyrus. They'll find fragments of bills and grocery lists and whatever, you know, anything that people throw away. And included in that are fragments of Bibles. And the oldest scrap of a Bible that we have is part of John's Gospel, I believe it is, or is it 1 John? But anyway, one of the two, either 1 John or John's Gospel. It's a little piece, it's only got a few verses on each side, and it is dated to the year 125 when it was copied, which shows that John's Gospel existed some years before 125. All right. In any case, So as they do this research, when the King James Version was translated, you know, they didn't have communication like they do today. They didn't have ways of digitizing manuscripts. They didn't have, there's a whole lot of things they didn't have. So in the 400 years since then, there has been a lot of research, a lot of manuscripts have come up, and men have spent their lives studying this. There's been in tremendous research and study into the use of words. We understand what words mean in certain cases better, especially with respect to Hebrew. The Greek is a little more established because of Greek is still a living language. And even though it's an old, the Bible's written in an old form, it's still a living language, and so there's a lot of words that we do understand that way. Anyway, the point is that as time has gone along, we do understand the language better, we understand the words better, and so that does influence the translations. And then there's another issue. The other issue is some of the manuscripts that they have dug up have they all have different. Each manuscript is slightly different. I don't think there's any two that are necessarily, especially of any length, that are exactly alike. You know, these were hand copies, handwritten copies. People make a slip of the pen, they get tired. In fact, in our text today, there is a word, and I forget which one it was in Romans 8, there was a word that has, somewhere in one of the verses that we're looking at today, maybe it's in the afternoon, I don't remember, but there is one letter difference in this one word. And it determines on whether it's a future or whether it's a declaration. It's either a future tense or a declarative tense. You follow what I'm saying? So, but you know, which is right? Well, some versions go one way and some versions go the other way. You see? And so that's where a little bit of confusion comes in. But the point is, like, if we don't have any manuscript differences, okay, let's leave that aside for right now. Can translation render words exactly from one language to another 100% of the time? No. Okay. That's because each language has unique words. Some words really express an idea in Greek in such a way that we don't exactly have a corresponding word in English. For example, this word that we just talked about here, inspiration. We don't have, I mean, we could say God breathed, okay, there. We say God breathed it out. That would be a fairly literal translation of the word that is underlying that. But the word we use is inspire. It's not the same word exactly that is in the Greek. You see what I'm saying? Not exactly the same word. So when we translate, there are difficulties in translation in getting the exact meaning of the word across. It's just the nature of translation. And there are some words that have more than one way that is a legitimate way to translate them. For example, and we see this in the King James Version quite often, they tended to like variety. Sometimes, I think we pointed that out in, I forget what verse it was, but somewhere fairly recently, chapter 7 or 6, where you have the same word used in the same verse and the King James Version translates it differently in the same verse. Because the King James translators like variety. It's part of the style thing. Whereas, you know, in interest of accuracy, it would probably have been better if they'd left it the same. You know, it doesn't matter which one they chose, but at least leave it the same so you know that's the same word. You read it in English and you don't even know it's the same word there. In the same verse even, or the same passage. A fairly well-known example is 1 Corinthians 13. What's 1 Corinthians 13 about? Love, all right? What word does it use? Charity. Now, is charity a wrong translation of the Greek word? No, it's not a wrong translation. But it's just that variety. So you can come along and you can translate, and one guy picks one word, and another guy picks another word. So who's right? They both are, probably. All right? I'm Marlene. Absolutely, yes. Yeah. That's right. Concordances are very helpful that way. Or for those of you who are in the 21st century, you do have computers that will help you with that too. little joke there. Nothing too serious. Well,
I just mentioned that.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's great. Okay. Wolf is just mentioning eSword. And if you do have a computer and you don't have a Bible program, eSword is a free program. You can just download it off the internet, and it's an excellent resource. I really highly recommend eSword if you want to have a Bible on your computer. All right. Now here, next question. If someone says one version is the only one that should be used, what does that make that version? Holy. Okay, that's good. What were you going to say? Unique, all right. Any other words you want to use for that? Okay, inspired. You see, when we come down and say, all right, here this translation is the one that must be used. You should use it. You should not use others. You are elevating that one translation above the others in a way that the Bible itself does not do. You see? And you're making it inerrant. Well, it's a translation. I don't know of any translation that doesn't have some mistakes in it. Right? They all do. Harry. Well, the versions that I recommend is virtually nothing. Okay? No. Less, probably 0.1 of 1%. Okay, I mean, that's just, you know, just a number. I mean, it's, and often they're mistakes. They're not mistakes in the sense of deliberate, malicious spreading of error, but they are mistakes in the sense of grammatical error, choosing the wrong reading. Sometimes they're just not really as clear as they should be. They miss the tense of the verb. They're translating with the right vocabulary, but they're not giving you the right action. Okay, so things like that. That's what I mean by mistakes. Well, sort of, but it's more like this. It's more like this. Because, you see, there are Bibles that, for the worst example perhaps in English is the Jehovah's Witness Bible, where they have deliberately corrupted the translation. They've added in words to fit their theology, and they don't submit themselves to the Bible. That's probably the worst translation out there, and we certainly don't recommend their translation. So, and there are other versions that are maybe not as blatant as the New World Translation, but they do things like in Isaiah 7:14, where it says, "Behold, a virgin shall a virgin shall conceive and bear a child." I'm messing it up. How does that go? You know the verse. Anyway, it talks about a virgin, right? The prophecy of a virgin. Well, they translate that young woman. Okay, so that's theological. There's a theological bias, and they actually the word is there have been lengthy articles written on that particular word in the Old Testament. It's inescapable that it's a virgin. I mean, it's just not, they're just wrong. And they did that because they're liberal theologians. They don't like the virgin birth. Okay, so there are these kind of attacks on the Bible. When somebody translates that way, that's an attack. Right? Now, we want to, as believers, Orthodox Bible-believing believers, we want to defend the Bible. I mean, we don't accept that kind of a assault on the truth, and so we're not gonna. So there becomes a stand against translations of that nature. Now, what some have done is they have now taken this. They have taken the argument that any deviation from the King James Version is an attack on the Bible. And they'll give you lists of differences between the King James Version and the New American Standard or the New International or whatever, and they'll say, see, they're attacking the deity of Christ, when in fact it's not true. They're not doing that. And the in fact, there's a verse where the newer versions actually translate it in a, they translate a stronger statement on the deity of Christ. This is in John chapter 1. I remember it correctly. And the newer versions are stronger on the deity of Christ in that verse than the King James Version is. That's because of a manuscript difference. And those who are defending the King James Version will fight tooth and nail for the weaker position. It's very interesting. I don't know if I can find it real quick. It's in those... it's in verse 18. 1 John 1:18. Is anybody... Gospel of John 1:18. Okay? Somebody can look it up in the King James Version. I don't have that right in front of me. Okay? But anyway, the point is that there is because we do want to take a stand against false teaching, there is a motivation. People stir people up. Oh, you know, they're attacking the deity of Christ. Well, that bothers us if somebody's attacking the deity of Christ. And so when you if you haven't thought through all the issues, then that might be lead you to take a position like a King James only position, because you don't want to, you want to stand for the truth, and there's an emotional reaction going on here. And the fact is, however, that we have to realize it's a translation. If we're saying that there's only one Bible that could ever possibly be used in English, and all other Bibles, to use them would be a sin. I mean, we've gone too far. All right, in our defense of the Bible. All right, Norman, do you have that verse for us?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead and read John 1:18.
No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared.
All right, now I'll read it from the New American Standard. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him. Now, what do you see the difference? Son and God. See, in this particular case, the older manuscripts on which the newer versions are based has a higher term. Now, the difference is two letters. Okay, the word for Son and the word for God are very similar. They're both four-letter words. One has sort of a, how do you put it? One starts with two different letters, and the word for God and the word for Son starts with two other letters. So, you know, it's easy to see how a pen could slip. And is it true that the only begotten Son, is that a true? Sure, He's called that in other places. But in this verse, the newer versions are stronger on the deity of Christ. It's interesting. Okay, but the point is, right? That's part of the reason why people, you know, sort of cling to this and make it a big argument. Because they want to defend the Word of God. They love the Word of God, and they ought to. And I do not condemn those who take that position. I don't condemn them for their zeal or their sincerity. I just think that they haven't thought through the whole thing properly. Wolf. Right. Now, there's nothing wrong with preferring the King James Version. There's a lot of reasons to prefer it. I mean, you're used to it, for example. You love the language. I mean, it is beautiful language. There's a lot of reasons for preferring it. But when you elevate it and say it is the only, well, then you've taken it too far. Okay, Bob, I'll get Bob a chance. Right. 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 Yeah, right. Yeah.
And getting into it. And I think the application of the Bible, bringing people to the Lord, and then your journey starts, and then you get into discussions like we're having now.
Yeah, exactly.
Say something to some non believer that it's very important on what Bible you read.
Well, I think it often does. And unfortunately, this is a problem. Some of those who take a King James only position say, well, look at all the confusion it causes. Well, Yeah, it is confusing. There's all kinds of Bibles out there. Which one do you pick? It is confusing. Okay? And I agree with that. However, it is the reality. You're not going to change the reality. Okay? I need to... we're almost out of time, so I'm going to try to... Ask me your questions.
I was just going to add that that's the reason we need to be here.
Well, that's true. We do need... Wow. Oh, well, we'll take time for plugs like that. All right. Yes. Yeah. Yes, right. And you know what's even worse is when you're a preacher and you've got a whole sermon written on that verse and then you go look it up and you're totally off. That's terrible. All right. Okay, so, let me just see. I'll just give you a couple more things. Does the Bible itself address the issue of versions, of translations? No, it doesn't. It does not. Now, next point. Second last. The difficulty in changing from one version to another. Number one, tradition. It's very hard to change. It's hard for people to change. Hard for me to change. All versions have strengths and weaknesses. Some, there's different things. All right. And another thing is it's difficult to get the whole church to switch to one standard version. You know, you all come, some of you are carrying different versions, all of you, and it's because that's what you like and you're used to it or whatever. Well, great. We have actually, and I mentioned the Living Bible as a not really acceptable version. It's a paraphrase, it's not a translation, and so on. Years ago, we had a lady attending our church, and she carried her Living Bible to church. And I was visiting her home one time, and I said, there are better versions than that one. She says, well, I like it. I said, well, are you reading it? Yes, I read it every day. I said, well, okay. The point is, it is the Word of God. Even though it's not presented in what I think is the best form, here this woman was reading the Word of God every day. Well, okay. All right. I'm more interested in that than insisting... if you don't use the book I'm using on Sunday, you are, the spawn of Satan or something like that. I mean, good grief. Okay, so it is difficult to get us all on the same page, right? We have different dislikes and different likes. So what are we going to do for the future, the plans for the future? Well, I'm going to continue using the New American Standard for a little while. I might go back to the King James Version. In a few weeks. We'll see. I may try at some point one of my other recommended versions. And one of the problems that I have is that most Bibles today are published in paragraph format. And now that's fine for reading. When you sit down and read and the paragraphs are laid out like paragraphs, that's great for just reading. But when I want to say, okay, look down in verse X, I'm looking, okay, now where is that? Because they have those tiny little numbers in there, and some of my eyes are not quite as good as they used to be, and things are, So one of the problems is finding Bibles, published Bibles, that are in verse-by-verse format. Now, this particular version that I have, this New American Standard, this big whopper here, actually is, it's a one-column, you can see here, it's a one-column Bible, and I thought that was going to take a little getting used to, but for preaching it's actually quite good. And it's verse by verse. So that's why I have it. That's what I bought it for. I think the English Standard Version, which I quite like in some ways, does not have a verse by verse publication so far. So I don't know. I don't know about the New King James. I may check that one out as well at some point. However, I encourage you always to read whatever version you have. All right? Do consider using a recommended version. I would encourage you, if one of those four are my primary recommendations, King James, New King James, New American Standard, or English Standard Version, in your own personal reading, because they are so accurate, I would encourage you to use those. Now, like I said, if you like another version, and you're reading it, that's my goal. But be careful. The further you get away from that sort of core, chances are there's something that I won't like about it. Not that you have to please me. All right, any final questions? Marlene? Yes, I was using the New American Standard last week. Yes, well, see, this is the thing that it is clearer. The English is clearer. It absolutely is. And in fact, I study out of it, regardless of if I'm using the King James, I'm studying the New American Standard. So, and I also have the English Standard. Like on my computer, I have several displayed at once, but the New American is the one I concentrate on. Well. Oh, absolutely. Right. Right. And then, like, over time, it just, and even from place to place. If you go down, even, if you go across the line to the States, into Washington State, that's not the Deep South, right? They talk differently than we do. All right. We can understand each other. We're close enough that we understand each other. But really, you listen to them talk, they use different vocabulary, different pronunciations. And it's not so different that you can't understand each other, but the fact is, geography, technology, time, everything changes language. And, we do have to deal with that. Okay, well.
I'll use the example of the word above.
Yeah. Yes. There are two different words that are used. You wouldn't get that from the English. That's right. Yeah, yeah. And that's an interesting one all by itself. But we won't go there. We don't have time. Okay. All right. We're way over time. Any other questions? That's a killer, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. When's lunch? As soon as I pray. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the day you've given us. We thank you for this time we've had discussing your word. Lord, we pray that. Though we do have concerns about our what version we use, and it's difficult to standardize because we all have our own preferences, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be faithful to your word and be reading your word and letting it soak into our lives that it might speak to us. Lord, we are so dense we can read your Bible and not even pay attention to the words that we're reading. So I pray that you would work in our hearts and that we would truly allow the Word to do its work and be submissive to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.